for you, buddy.
Go ahead. My name's Brex and I'm an addict.
Hey, Brex.
So, Johnny, I remember, man, I think I only had like 8 months maybe or something like that whenever he first came into the rooms in Honewall, Tennessee. And, bud, he was probably the smartest person you would have ever met. And for those who don't know me, I'm being sarcastic as fuck. I mean, just a dipshit. No, but I absolutely love Johnny to death. He's one of the people that I actually look up to in a lot of areas. For instance, you know, we've, over the past years, have had trouble with, like, getting folks to kind of get involved and, you know, get involved in service. Like, hey, let's keep this shit rolling and this energy going. And there is one person, without a shadow of a doubt, who's going to continue serving and giving back to this fellowship, and it's always been Johnny for me. And I felt like I was not given that enough recognition sometimes, so I'll really sit back on the sidelines, you know, during these discussions, and I just watch Johnny, and he really lives this program. He gives back to the program, and he does it with a grateful spirit. And there's times where I'll catch him at work, because we work together too, and he'll just be, I mean, filling up a newcomer with, you know, all the hope that they're really needing. And it's like, it's really inspiring and it's beautiful to watch. You ain't gonna find nobody with a bigger heart than Johnny. And that's probably the most honest thing I can say about him. And without further ado, Johnny.
All right, y'all, I'm Johnny, I'm an addict. I am not nervous at all. That is a whole lie. I'm about as nervous as a long-tailed cat in a room full of rocking chairs. But, you know, supposed to be talking about half-truths and whole lies. Man, anybody that knows me, that's been around me much, I mean, anybody that I've come in contact with in my recovery, I've lied to you at some point. You know, that's been a struggle of mine, you know, because lies were a defense mechanism for me. You know, if I was telling you lies, then I was masking myself and I was protecting myself from you because I'd been hurt by so many people in my life that I was afraid to let people get close to me. And I can remember going to my dad and trying to borrow money, and Dad, I need some help. I'm going over here to Jake's house. We got to move this washer and dryer. Well, son, you've moved that washer and dryer about 10 times in the last month. You know, I was not very good at the line, but I practiced a fucking lot. Now, and thing is, I was scared that if I let people know the real me, that they wouldn't fucking like me.
Yeah, sure.
So I put these masks, I put these walls up with my dishonesty. But whenever I got into recovery, you know, I kept doing that, kept keeping people away. And what I didn't realize is, man, I'm hurting myself. You know, because I'm not allowing people to get to know me and to be able to pour into me what they have learned. You know, and I was scared to death, like I said, that if you got to know me, you just, I didn't like me. So how the fuck could anybody else like me? So, you know, always just with some bullshit. You know, I mean, my mom told me at a young age, son, why don't you take these stories and write them down and fucking sell them? You can make some money. You know, because fucking, I come up with the most outlandish shit. You know, and then when I start sharing my story in NA, man, when I started out, I was always telling people that a couple days before I walked into rehab, I stuck a rifle in my mouth and pulled the trigger and it didn't fire. Half truth. 2 days before I walked into rehab, my dad found me sitting in his living room with a rifle in my mouth. You know, I had got to that point because, I mean, nobody knew how to help me because I couldn't be fucking honest about what the fuck was going on with me. You know, I couldn't let people know, hey, I'm fucking hurting. You know, I was in the military, and the way I grew up was you don't show fucking weakness. And to fucking let people know exactly who I am and what the fuck's going on with me, that's a damn weakness. You know, that's the way that I saw it. That's the way that it was ingrained into me from a young age. But the thing that I had to learn was that, you know, to me today, whenever I see somebody get vulnerable, whenever I see somebody start letting that shit out, that's where I see real strength. You know, because it takes a lot to fucking trust people. You know, I trust the people in my circle today with the deepest, darkest shit from my past. You know, shit I didn't want to fucking tell nobody. You know, I mean, I had swore to myself, I mean, I always told everybody, man, I didn't have no trauma as a kid. That was something that I fucking ingrained in myself. But eventually, I had to admit to my first sponsor, man, I was molested at 6 years old. I had to fucking talk about that shit. Because the thing is, man, the first person I had to get honest with was my fucking self. You know, what's going on with me? Man, I had to fucking search my soul, man, and see why the fuck is Johnny acting like this? And that honesty, man, it started to come out in the step work. You know, of course, I was dumb as fuck, and I'm sitting there writing this step work. Well, at least nobody's ever going to hear this or see this. Not fucking realizing, even though I've heard it 100 fucking times, I'm going to have to read this to my sponsor. But then I sat there writing that step work out, and I told myself, well, I'm writing it down, but I'm not going to share this with him. I'm going to hold on to this. You know, there was parts of my life that, you know, I knew things needed to be fixed, but I thought, you know, I'll give this up. I'll let my sponsor hear this. He can help me with this, but I'm holding on to that. You know, and thing was, man, I had to fucking let it all out. You know, whenever I finally sat down with my sponsor and I started going over these steps and I started getting fucking honest with him, man, I started seeing some relief. You know, man, my sponsor, well, let me back up. First time I ever went to speak anywhere, you know, you've heard a lot of talk about Jim G, who's no longer with us. You know, first time I ever went to speak, I talked to him right before. And I told him, I said, hey, I'm going to share my story. And I was expecting, oh, hell yeah, man, proud of you. Go do your thing. He said, okay, don't fucking lie. I mean, and, man, you know, it used to piss me off whenever people would call me out on shit. You know, but now today it shows me that people fucking care. Because they want me to show my true authentic self. We talk about that in NA, and if I'm not fucking showing my true authentic self, then I'm not being honest with you and I'm not being honest with me. And I have to be honest first and foremost with myself, but then I gotta get honest with God. But more than anything, I gotta be honest with y'all too. Because we talk about we can only keep what we have by giving it away. How the fuck do you know what to give me if I'm not telling you what the fuck's going on with me? You know, my life was fucking hell before I got clean. Hell, it's not perfect today. You know, and one of the biggest lies that I tell people still to this day is, hey, how you doing? Oh, man, I'm good. You know, I'll be dealing with some shit, fucking struggling, and knowing I need to talk to somebody. But that old shit of I'm a fucking man, I'm not supposed to talk about this shit, comes back in. You know, that disease starts telling me, man, nobody wants to hear this. That disease starts telling me, man, you got nearly 5 years clean. Fucking, you should be better than what you are. But that's one of the biggest truths I can tell myself today is that I am who I am today, and that's okay. I'm all right where I'm at. You know, the half-truths, man, they've wrecked a lot of shit for me. I mean, met a good woman, 9 months clean. I know, I didn't wait the year. And we wound up we wound up getting married. I met her, actually, you know, whenever I started dating her 4 days after my first convention here, which was 4 days after I came here and I whored around a little bit. You know, so live omission, she never heard about that shit. But then, you know, I got into this relationship and things were going good because I was fucking honest with her. I told her about my past. I told her all the dirty, grimy shit I had done. But then, you know, she moves in with me, we get married, and my finances start getting in the way. You know, where the fuck's the money going? Or, hey, I paid this bill. Yeah, it's paid, but what I done was set it up on a fucking payment plan so that I could push it back because I'm not fucking good with my finances. And, you know, because I couldn't be totally honest with her, I've got fucking divorce papers sitting on my fucking table at my house right now. You know, even though I'm clean, them lies have still wrecked my fucking life. Things are not fucking perfect for me. You know, they're not fucking great. I fucking struggle every day. You know, I go into work. Hell, sometimes one of the biggest fucking lies I tell is I go into work fucking with a smile on my face, acting like everything's fucking great whenever things ain't fucking great. You know, whenever I'm struggling, you know, I still want sometimes to think, well, man, coming up on 5 years, you got these sponsees, man, you're supposed to be some fucking NA guru. You're supposed to have some shit figured out. But I won't fucking do what I'm telling my fucking sponsees to do. I won't fucking get honest and tell people what the fuck's going on with me. You know, and how can I expect a sponsee to do this and to fucking be honest with me in his step work whenever I'm not being honest with myself and I'm not being honest with the people in my circle? You know, I have to fucking be honest, man. And that has been one of the hardest fucking lessons for me to learn. I mean, I learned shit the hard way. I learned that by driving people away. There's people that I was close to in this fellowship when I first came in here that I'm not real close to now because I couldn't fucking be honest with them. You know, I had to fucking tell lies. I had to fucking try to make myself seem like I was doing better than what I am. And it's just about fucking being okay with who I am today. You know, that whole thing of wiggling my toes, wiggling my fingers, and fucking realize right here where I'm at right now is all right. You know, I don't have to try to fucking make myself sound better than what I fucking am. You know, if I'm not fucking honest with myself first, then there's no way I can be honest with you. You know, I have to fucking... The biggest thing for me, man, is just realizing that whenever I tell a lie, yeah, I'm hurting you, but I'm hurting me more than anything because I'm driving a wedge. You know, I'm fucking telling you, look, I don't fucking trust you. And, man, if I want people to trust me today, then I have to show some trust. I have to fucking be willing to let people help me today. And God knows I need all the help I can get. I'm fucked up. I mean, you can ask anybody that's around me very often. They fucking know. You done heard two of them talking shit up here today. So, but the good thing is, the one thing I haven't had to lie about since May 4th of 2021 is my clean time. Hell yeah. You know, I mean, that's something I'm fucking proud of, man. I get to pick up 5 years in a couple months. But I wouldn't have been able to do that without the fucking people around me. Without the people in my home group. Without the people in my sponsorship family. Without the people I meet here. But if I want to get that 5 years and then I want to get five more, man, I got to be fucking honest with people. I can't be fucking lying. I can't be keeping people at bay anymore. I gotta let people in. I got to be fucking honest. Whenever I'm not good, I gotta fucking say I'm not fucking good. You know, I can no longer put on masks. They got to be put to the side. Because those masks and those fucking lies, they're gonna fucking kill me. Because eventually I'm gonna tell a lie that I don't see a way of fucking backing out of. Clean. And, man, I've lost too many people to this fucking disease. I've been to those fucking celebrations of life. I've been to the fucking funerals. And I don't want none of y'all coming in saying, damn, what could have been over top of my fucking casket. And I'm not going to sit up here and tell you that I'm fucking perfect about it today, because God knows that would be a lie. I mean, I'm still fucking dishonest every now and then. You know, but today, it makes me sick to my stomach when I do that. And I have to fucking make it right. So, you know, I try to practice honesty today, because God knows I fucking hate walking up to somebody and saying, hey man, I fucking lied to you. I hate that feeling. I hate having to fucking acknowledge the fact that I acted out on a fucking defect. You know, and that's one of those defects, you know. Step says we humbly ask him to remove our shortcomings. You know, and that's where it is for me. You know, the defects says we want our defects gone, but the thing is for me, the defects will never be gone. They're part of me. They're part of who I am. But the thing that has changed is I try my damnedest not to act out on those motherfuckers today. You know, I can see when a defect is becoming a shortcoming. You know, I fucking, and some of my defects, man, I've turned them around into fucking assets. I can fucking talk and talk and talk and talk. I mean, I'm a fucking bullshitter. But the thing is, I've turned that around today to where when I see a newcomer come in, I can go talk to them and try to make them feel welcome. And hell, I can get a laugh out of somebody. I can put a smile on somebody's face. You know, I mean, in case any of y'all don't know me, I'm a fucking smartass. And I fucking enjoy it. I enjoy fucking cracking jokes at people. I enjoy talking shit. But the thing that I enjoy the most is the relationships I have today. And without the people in my life, man, this shit ain't worth doing. So I better get fucking honest so that I don't lose them. Because I know at some point, if I'm fucking continuing to be dishonest with people, they're going to set up those boundaries with me. And it's like, I got a cousin right now. Been to this convention multiple times. And he will not get it honest about his fucking using. I'm scared to death I'm going to get that fucking phone call about him. Scares the shit out of me. Because he will not fucking be honest. He's saying, I'm okay. I can drink a few. I'm okay. I can eat a few shrooms. I'm okay. I can smoke a little bit. Thing is, man, he's not fucking okay. I can see it every time that I talk to him. But he's going to continue to tell those lies till they fucking kill him. And I can't be a part of that. You know, one lie I tried to tell myself whenever he started using again was that I can save him. I can bring him back in. But I can't. The only thing I can do is make sure my ass is at those meetings, keeping the fucking doors open in case he ever decides to come back. You know, like I said, my life's not perfect, but thing is, I can be honest about the fact that it's a damn sight better than it was 5 years ago. And as long as I'm fucking trying to be honest, trying to fucking do better, then that's what matters. And like I said, I will never fucking be perfect at this. And if anybody ever tells you that they are, they're fucking lying. Because there's no fucking perfect at it. The only thing that I've done perfect since May 4th of 2021 is I've not got fucking high. That's it. It's the only thing I'm required to do perfect. You know, as long as I continue to try to better myself and I reach my end goal, which is to, whenever they throw me 6 feet under the ground, throw dirt on my face, I'm still fucking clean, then I'm good, man. You know, just fucking tell the fucking truth. That is what goes through my head all the time. Jim G, fucking, he'll always be right here because of that right there. And Mad Dog Mike, and y'all knew him, man. That man right there, whenever he, I'll say it's right here and I'll pass the time, but whenever I first met Mad Dog, he had 42 years clean. I had about 6 months. And in my sponsorship family, I've been given the nickname Jukebox Johnny, because we give each other nicknames every time we get together. Yeah. And whenever my first retreat, I was walking around there with my Bluetooth speaker the whole time, fucking just listening to music because I didn't want to fucking talk to nobody. Still hating myself. I walked out the back door at cabin. He was sitting there on the tailgate of a truck, and he looked at me and said, "Hey, young man, come here and talk to me." I walked over, sat down. He said, "You know why I got clean 42 years ago? What my purpose was?" I said, "No, what's that?" He said, "Because I was supposed to be sitting here today to talk to you." Man, that meant everything to me. You know, what we're doing here today, we're doing this for the unseen addict.
Yeah.
For the one that we will never fucking meet.
Yeah.
You know, and Mad Dog told me, he said, there's somebody out there that's either not been born yet, not using yet, or is currently in active addiction, that your story is going to change their life. So stick the fuck around. Try to help somebody out. Love y'all. I'm Johnny. I'm Ned.
Thank you, Sparky. All right. The next speaker that's going to be introduced today, for me, is what this program's all about, what these conventions are all about. When I was asked to get up and chair this meeting today, of course, I've known Johnny since he walked in the door, but I didn't know the next speaker. So who am I? I'm going to go around. I'm going to do a little investigation and find out to get to meet him before. So I had an opportunity to meet him last night. When I say, you know, that's what this program's all about, you know, Johnny was just talking about the fact that we lost a couple of really close members, several really close members this year in the program for different reasons. And one of the rewarding things for me about coming around, God willing, I'll be celebrating 41 years in April. But one of the rewarding things about this program, recovery, and coming to these conventions is that, you know, we're going to lose people we love and care about every year. It's just a given, you know. It's just a given we're going to do that. And, you know, and one of the sad things about coming around the program for a long period of time is you look around the rooms and you don't see anybody in the rooms that was here when you came in. That's one of the sad things, and it happens more and more all the time. But yet one of the rewarding things is that you get to meet new people as they walk in the door and they volunteer to come up and share a little bit of themselves with all of us in this room. That's one of the rewarding things. They don't replace the people we loved and cared about, but yet they step in and add another piece to the puzzle. And man, that's a rewarding thing. And if somebody's been coming around a little bit, that's why I like to give of myself. I like to welcome that newcomer when they walk in the rooms, and always tell them, man, welcome to these rooms. And when meeting's over, please come back. We need you here, because we've got to fill those. Somebody's got to step in and take the place to some degree of those people we love and care about. You know, Mad Dog was my grand sponsor. He was my antique buddy. You know, that we could sit around and talk for 3 hours about antiques. You know, Jim never always kept me busting up at the gut. You know, nothing I liked any better than listening to Jim give Mason a rough time, you know, call him a cheating MF or because, you know, something that happened on the golf course. And those guys are going to be missed. But yet we look up, guys, and other people come in the door that are going to be those jokesters, that are going to be those antiquers. I was thinking when they were honoring those guys yesterday, I said, man, everybody needs to stop at an antique store and buy a piece of antique, even if it costs 20 cents, just to honor Mad Dog when they go home on the way today. But anyway, I'm rambling. I do that a lot. People know me, know I'm an old man, and I do some old man-ism sometimes, and I'll kind of go out in left field sometimes. But with that being said, guys, I'm truly honored to be here. You know, my first convention was in 1985. And I try to get to them as much as I can, because I always take a ton of things away from here. New relationships, you always say, well, I always hear you know, it's nothing new, you can't hear anything different, but I always hear something different at these meetings, at these conventions. But with no further ado, I'm going to ask Ryan if he'll come up and introduce our next speaker.
What's up, everybody? My name is Ryan Maddock.
Hey, Ryan.
Hey, glad to be here today with you guys and enjoying the convention. But one of the gifts of my recovery is Martez. You know, Martez has been a person in my life that, you know, has come in the last 3 years. I mean, he just picked up 3 years clean earlier this year. You know, I met Martez before that, actually, before he got clean in a treatment facility doing H&I. And he came, you know, trickling into the rooms as some of them do, and he stuck around for a little while, and then he decided to leave, and he was gone for a little while, and then he came back one day, and I was sitting beside him, and he's like, "You remember me?" I said, "Hell yeah, I fucking remember you. Where the fuck you been?" You know, and he's like, "I said, are you staying this time?" He said, "Yeah." I said, "All right then," and so you know, I've just had the pleasure of sponsoring Martez. You know, since then, and we've been on the journey, man. He actually just finished the 12 steps, you know, this end of this year, and so, you know, that's a big job. You know, I say that's probably my biggest accomplishments. You know, in life has been working the 12 steps, because I hate school and hate reading and writing and all that kind of stuff, and so, you know, Martez has just come in and done. Thorough, honest step work, and when we go over some questions, I'm like, man, he's fucking really doing a lot better job than I did at this shit, you know. So you know, the man's got some smarts, but what he's been smart enough to do is to stick and stay, and then to get involved in the program, in the fellowship, sharing a lot of meetings. He's done a whole lot of service work, done a lot of H&I stuff, and has since then involved himself in his employment. You know, in recovery, so he's been all involved, and you know, he just carries a good, clear message of recovery, and I'm grateful for that. You know, Martez is like one of the people I finally got to come do some H&I with me, and you know, he'd be like, "Man, I'm not doing that." I'm like, "Oh, since you said it, you fucked up. Now you are. You will." And every time he's like, "I'm not doing it," I said, "Yeah, okay. How's that gonna work out for you?" You know, and he's like, "Ah," you know. But man, I'm just so grateful for what Martez brings to the fellowship in our area. You know, he definitely is proof in the pudding for what the program can do for a recovering addict who's willing. So, anyways, thanks for letting me share.
Pick the right leg, that shit will fall down. I'm Martez, I'm an addict.
Hey.
I need some help. I'm fueled off of energy, so I need y'all to give me some energy because I'm scared as shit. I've been pissing like a Russian racehorse. Did nothing come out last time. I was just standing there looking at the urinal and shit. So I'm fueled off of energy, so I'm going to say some things. If NA has helped you look yourself in the mirror, if NA has helped you get a job, if NA has helped you get rid of a no good man or woman, if NA has helped you find a good man or woman, if NA has given you back your life, if NA has made you a parent that you're proud of, I need you to get up and raise hell and let them know that we're in here. Has NA done that for anybody? I forgot who I was fucking with. Y'all scared me for a minute. I run on 93. I don't run on 87. That's the first lie. I've never had a car that run on 93. When gas went up to $4 a gallon, I had a fucking Broham Cadillac. And I wouldn't put 93 in there, so I'd put 87. And at the time, I was going to college. And my professor said he always knew when I got to college, because after I turned it off, you know, it'll do the... Then finally, it would do that last one. Pow! And he knew when I was in class, he could hear that, and he knew I was there. So, man, this was a hard topic. I want to thank Ryan, my sponsor. I couldn't be what I am without him. He's an integral part of my story. He's the man that I see a lot of the things that I want to be and that I want to have in him. My whole relationship with the truth is a little bit strange because, you know, I was born and raised in the projects. I came from that family where mama said, you don't talk about what goes on in this house. We can clown with one another, but when we go out, we're going to smile and act like we like one another. I found out that truth was a little different for me because one day I was in church, right, and my uncle got up and he said that he wanted to give a testimony. And he said, you know, I was an addict. I won't say the drug. And my aunt looked over when he said it. She said loud as shit in church, "Would you look at this shit?" So I was there looking and was like, maybe the truth is not what I need to tell. So I've had an interesting relationship with the truth. I'm looking for my notes. I got a couple of notes because it's amazing when people ask you to do things now. Your mind can go down memory lane and you can start to remember things that made you the way that you are. And it's like they just come to you, like it's a little fairy just dropping them in your damn mind. And that's how this happened, you know. And I realized that it's two quotes that determine how I deal with the truth, you know, because I'm one of these black cloak characters. I hold the truth or I give you what you need. Because I don't want you to manipulate me. I don't want you to do to me what the fuck I'm trying to do to you. So I hold shit. And I noticed in two quotes that sum up how I dealt with truth. The first one that they told me back when I had hair and, you know, my nose wasn't so big, is that knowledge is power. It's like, okay, I can deal with that one. And the second one was in an Emily Dickinson poem, and it said, "Tell the truth, but tell it slant." So that let me know. And remember, we're addicts. We don't just use drugs. We don't just use alcohol. We use people. We use places. We use things. And yes, we use the truth. So depending on what the situation was, determined what or how much I would tell you. I would divvy it out or I would twist it up a little bit. And this characterized my life. This characterized my life. Why? Because I thought I was smarter than other people. I thought I was better. And really, when it all gets down to it, if we really want to expose it, it's because I thought I was lesser than y'all. I thought that if I told you the truth, you wouldn't like me. I told the truth to lie about money and stuff because I didn't think there was enough for me. I told half-truths and all of this stuff because I was not comfortable in me. Well, as many of you know, honesty is one of the first principles that we come in contact with. And it's a reason that it's one of the first ones that we come in contact with. As Greg told me, it's because we've had a precarious relationship with the truth. I'm the one that, you know, britches are all, you know, I've lost 30 pounds, but I'm okay. I got on some earrings. Lips ashy, but I got on some earrings. I'm okay. I didn't pay the utility bill, but I put it on a payment arrangement. I paid half of it, so I'm okay. I'm the one that's sitting there laughing with the guys and having a good time and can tell jokes, so I'm okay. until I realized that I wasn't okay. Half-truth is a whole lie. When we say that and we come into contact with the truth, it exposes a whole lot. That's a whole lot in that phrase, and I thought about it over and over again. First of all, this is exposes manipulation, which we were big on, and we'll tell some shit, but won't tell the whole shit all the time. This is exposes control issues. We want to control everything. I can control the narrative if I tell you what I want you to know. And I used to have a saying that people believe what you tell them. That's some of that old con man shit. I heard it somewhere. That's some of that con man shit. You believe what I tell you. Depending on how I dress and depending on how fast I talk, I can make you believe what I want you to believe. It brings about self-esteem issues because you can't accept me if I expose who I really am. This whole thing with the truth has been a journey, and it's one of them things. I'm gonna say some things some of y'all gonna disagree with, but don't be pinning me up in the corner. I got PTSD. I'll go off on your ass. I'm a Marine. I'll go off and be yelling and running and shit. But when it comes to honesty, who do I have to be honest with? If you robbing me, should I tell you I got an ashy ass 20 in my sock? You need to get that one too? No, that's foolish. The main one that I have to be honest with is myself and God. And in my program, I have to be honest and true to the principles that I decided, right? Did nobody decide these principles for me? Because the one thing that my sponsor told me is you come into the program of NA and you look and you find out who you are, and if you don't like it, you change. Our literature says over and over and over again that you get to decide who you want to be. So I have to be true to those principles. I don't have to be you. I don't have to be them. I don't have to be they. The only one that I have to justify myself to is me and God. Just to tell you a little bit of my story, I was born and raised in Huntsville. Like I said, I was born in the projects. My mom and dad was never together. I was a 70s love child. That's what I tell them. Neither one of them like when I say that shit around them. But on mom's side, I lived in the project, and I was the baby of the family. On my dad's side, he was upper middle class, and he had a good home, and I was the oldest brother. So it was always this dichotomy, always this Jekyll and Hyde that was inside of me, because I went from one side of the tracks to the other side of the tracks, and that kind of fucked me up. Now that I realize it, it helped. That was the first time that I started having experience with putting on different masks, and it just grew. I didn't want to tell you, and I hated telling this when I came in the room. I came from a severely dysfunctional family. My grandmother was an alcoholic. She's clean now. She got clean at like 83. She stopped drinking, and she's still here. She just had a birthday. But one day, Grandma was coming home, and Grandma was trying to get home because my aunt and my uncle were fighting, and a kid jumped out in front of the road, and she hit him and killed him. And Grandma never came back until 83. But my grandma was one. She had on these old pair of burgundy bell bottoms, and she always looked like hell every time, and she would cuss out my granddaddy to the top of her lungs. That shit was funny, you know, when I was a kid, but as I got older, I realized that shit was dysfunctional. And I saw my uncles drinking and everything, and I just thought that was the shit you do. You get up, you get drunk, like was said earlier in a workshop. You go to work and you do the things you're supposed to do. By God, you get to have a beer and you get to feel better. So that's how I grew up, man. Through high school, I would always have a tumbler of some type of alcohol. You know, it didn't matter. I didn't have any money, but whatever it was, you know. Left there, went to the Marine Corps. And that's when my drinking got kicked into high gear, because for those of you that, who don't know, the Marine Corps was founded in a bar. And we get drunk, let's just say it that way. I got a DUI in 2001. I don't know how it happened. All I know is I woke up to some noise and me in these folks' backyard and shit, tearing up their property. The state trooper got there. The bottle fell out before I did, so I knew it was going to be a fun fucking night, you know. He took me to jail, and when I got back to my duty station, which was in South Carolina, that's when the lies really started. They told me I had a problem and put me in some classes. And y'all excuse what I'm about to say. I promise I'll make this right at the end. I promise I'll make this right, so don't beat me up and call me racist. But they took me in this room, and they had me in here with a bunch of weird-ass white folks. I looked at that shit, and I was like, I ain't doing this shit, man. So I ran, doing this shit, sitting around talking about my problems and shit, my feelings and shit. So I left. And to make a long story short, I spent 20 more years into active addiction. I got out of the Marine Corps, and I went from one thing to the other, you know, until it was that one drug that started breaking my ass down, shotgun style. And it did it fast. And finally, in December of 20, I'm going to tell this story, and it is what it is. Should I tell this story?
Sure.
Yeah. He always going to ride with me. So December of 2020, man, I woke up, and my wife was holding a picture. I'm just going to say it like it is. A dick pic that I had sent to someone else, not her, in my face. And you know, for those of you who know how Dracula get up out of that damn coffin, I rolls up out of the bed, and she asked me a question. Have you lost your damn mind? And my honest answer was, yeah, I believe I fucking have. She kicked me out of the house. I had to go to rehab, and I had cleared out like 2 hours to get my stuff. It took me 30 minutes. I was 40-something years old. It took me 30 minutes to pack everything that I owned in my car. And I still could have fit three of y'all in there. I went to rehab, the rehab now that I work at. I stayed there and I got out. Make a long story short, after about 76 days, I relapsed. I stayed out about 2 years. And then one day, I finally wanted to get honest with myself. It had become a nightmare and a horror all over again. And I had to realize, I had to embrace reality and see what it was. So I sat down at my table. I had my products all around me, and I issued the first true prayer that I had whispered in a long time. Usually it was them prayers, God, if you help me get out of this, I won't do this shit again. Or if you meet with the drug that I did, I would do so much sometimes that it would make my heart race, and I would be in bed, and I would run out of the bed and run up to the kitchen and beg God, God, please don't let me die like this in front of my wife and my kids. I don't want to go out like this. And I would start drinking water and sweat, and then as soon as it would go down, I would say, whoo, that's some good dope, and I hit the shit again. But this time it was different.
Yeah.
I went to the kitchen. I said, Lord, I don't want to take this into the new year. And something heard me, and something sent a confirmation. But y'all know us, we always get one for the road. I had went by the dope man's house, and I had one more sack, and I had it in my pocket, you know. So I don't know what was going on with my wife that night, but her ass stayed up to like 4 o'clock in the morning. She wouldn't go to sleep for shit. And when she finally went to sleep, I reached in my pocket for the sack of dope, and it was gone. I checked my socks, wasn't no holes in my pockets. Y'all know how we do that shit. I traced my steps around in the yard looking and shit like I'm on some type of hunt. The next day I was in an NA meeting, and I got back with this man, and my life has been so much better because of it. As I said earlier, I don't believe that this is just me. This is not NA, I'm a member, but I get my own opinions. I don't believe that I owe the truth to everyone. Because some people are manipulators, and some people are going to try to do things to me with that truth. Some people will take who we are and use that against us. So now, motherfucker, I'm hands up with motherfuckers who hands up with me. Motherfuckers who hands down with me, I'm hands down with them. That don't mean I'm telling a lie, motherfucker. I'm just not telling you all my business. I don't have to come to a meeting and tell everything that's going on in my life. That's why I have a motherfucking sponsor. That's why I have a network. I tell them everything. And I have the right when a motherfucker asks me something, I don't have to tell you shit. I don't care how long you've been clean and how much you got me in this motherfucking corner. You better stop that shit. I told you I got PTSD. In a minute, some shit will arrive. And I'll do some shit, and we all know the truth then. I can't say I'm gonna whoop your ass, but I know we both going to the damn hospital. But my relationship with the truth in myself, I love step work because it makes me get to me. It asks me questions that I have to think about. And even when members tell me things about myself, I have to question it. I may tell you, fuck you, when you say something to me. But when I get home, I think about that and ask, was that right? Because we have an old analogy in here. If one person tells you you're a jackass, maybe. If five people tell you a jackass, your spouse, your boss, your kids, you might want to start looking for ears and a tail, because something is fucking going on. But the step work allows me to get in myself, and y'all know how I do it. Ask one question this way, motherfuckers think they slick who wrote that shit. Had to be some motherfucking addicts writing that shit. Ask you some shit this way, then ask you some shit that way, and ask you some shit again. Motherfucker, how many times are y'all gonna ask me this shit? But it helps me to get to me. And I have to find who I am, because of all the things that I lost in active addiction, I lost me. When I would get to my highest and drunkest, I would sit in the bed and I would cry and I would say, I used to be somebody. And then I would really start crying. This program helped me to find that little curly-haired, now bald-head, curly-haired boy hiding in the deep crevices of my heart. And now that I found him, I want him. I love him. I respect him. And I want to keep him. So the way that I do that is I tell the truth. The truth is one of those things that's not so much a function for y'all, it's a function for me. It helps me to look at myself and keep myself respect. When we talk about a half-truth as a whole lie, a phrase jumps out to me from our literature. Plausible, but untrue. We'll sell our shit some self in a minute, man. We'll sell ourselves some type of shit in a minute, man. If your friends lied to you like you lied to you, you would run their ass over every time you saw them. If they did to you what you did to you, and what does our literature say? We harm many. But most of all, we harmed ourselves. So I had to come out of that haze, but I didn't know how to evaluate truth. I didn't know how to see the truth. So I had to grab the hand of a sponsor who showed me, this is real, this ain't real, you're fucking high, you're fucking crazy. And he'll say it, Martez, you tripping. I got my little Ryan voice that I do. Martez, you tripping. And or how he do it now, since I got a little clean time, he ain't so rough with me. He'll say, well, you go do that and see what it's gonna do. I'm a little you anyway. That's when I know I'm finna fuck up. But he's always been there to love me no matter what. But when it comes to truth, I'm gonna say this and then I'm gonna get my ass out of here. When it comes to truth, to the newcomer, I think it was said best by Ashley in one of her workshops today. The best thing we can do is to make sure that our ass lines up with our mouth. To make sure that whatever you're saying, that you are doing it. Because they're looking. Y'all know, because we've all been through it. They're looking for differences, not similarities. And when you're that first motherfucker to talk about what you is and you ain't, and they see your ass going against that, that gives them a reason in their mind to go relapse. I don't blow myself up. I'm batshit crazy. You catch me some days, I'm crazier than others, but I try to be what I say I am. I don't have all the answers, goddammit. I don't have them all. And some days I don't have no fucking answers. But I find as long as I stay true to that, I'm still green and I can still grow and I can learn something from somebody else. Not only old timers, new people come in all the time. And they teach me things. The number one thing that they teach me is it's still fucking bad out there. It's still rough out there. Motherfucking street still kicking ass, ain't they? Motherfucker, you look good when you left. Goddamn, you look like you've been eat it up, threw away, pulled back out of the trash can. Now, how did that do you? And that let me know, because it seems like every time that I want, that I'm thinking about relapse or thinking that I can drink a shot of Hennessy or I can have a Budweiser, that somebody that I know relapses. And they have money and cars. Then they come back, motherfuckers riding the bus. Motherfucker come back, ain't got no money. Motherfucker lost 30 pounds. So they let me know, I don't want that lifestyle. Y'all, I'm just rambling now. I hope that I've said something that means something to you. But listen at this. If I haven't said anything that means anything to you, this should. If no one has told you today that they love you, You're probably hanging out with the wrong fucking people. Get another fucking crowd. Man, I love you. I'm Mark Henry.
All right, family, let's give both of these speakers another applause real quick. I want to thank everybody that showed up for this meeting today and to listen to the message from these two guys, these two gentlemen today. And if we would, guys, like right now, let's just kind of circle up and close this thing out.
I knew it. Thank you, man.